Today's program has been brought to you by the Brooklyn Slate Company, a manufacturer of slate cheese boards, coasters, and other fine items. For more information, visit www.brooklynslate.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
It's a little after 7:30 p.m. Welcome to Metropolitan Ave. I'm your host for the next 40 minutes, DJ Lady DM. If you're tuning in for the first time, Metropolitan Ave brings you the best independent musical talent, most of whom are discovered performing in non-traditional venues here in New York City. If you missed our live broadcast, you'll find us archived on the heritageradionetwork.org website. For those of you on the go, pick us up as a podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Tonight's in-studio musical guest is Streets of Laredo, who will be performing live during the second half of the show. But first, we'll speak with Emily White, co-founder of Whitesmith Entertainment, a management and consulting firm, as well as Ready Made Records, a label she runs in partnership with Brendan Benson. Ms. White also sits on the CASH Music Board and is also on the Artist Advisory Council for Pandora. Emily was kind enough to jump in at the last minute and joins us via phone tonight. Hi, Emily. Welcome to Metropolitan Ave.
Hey, Mackenzie. How are you?
Pretty good. It's a little hot in the studio tonight, but I'm really, really excited to be here. Tonight's theme is CMJ, but I'd love to talk to you a bit about your background in the industry since it's so interesting and relevant to the mission of our show. Basically, Metropolitan Avenue is all about supporting independent musicians and educating and shedding light on some of the more complicated aspects of the music biz. How did you get your start in the business?
I went to Northeastern University in Boston, where I did about 8 internships as an undergrad all over the place in Boston, New York, and London. And I started interning for the Dresden Dolls when I was in school and eventually became their tour manager and manager and things like that, and worked at their management company right out of college and kind of evolved from there and started our management firm in 2008.
Great. I know you've taken some unconventional and innovative solutions to your label's business model. What are some of the features that makes Ready Made and Whitesmith different from the traditional record label and management company?
I was really lucky to be schooled under managers who were all about building businesses around the artist instead of the other way around. So I think that's always how we've looked at things. And we're all about doing business tactics that make sense, of course, for the artist, but also for the fans. But I think that's where things really stem from. So, you know, whether it's responding to every single fan on Facebook and Twitter, or on Ready Made, you know, we had the publicist and radio promo team working on commission because I didn't really think it was fair for them to get paid, you know, before Brendan did, who wrote the music and recorded it and produced it and all that. Everything that we do always stems from the artist side.
And how long did it take you to actually get set up?
Not long. I mean, I was lucky to work at Madison House out of college and really get my management chops there. Left to work for Michael Cole shortly after that, and that was the Madonna, U2, Jay-Z deals. That was pretty insane. And that mess fell apart pretty quickly, so I moved back to Brooklyn. I was in Miami for a second and started my management company in 2008. So that, I mean, honestly, that came together in weeks, and I found my business partner and everything. So we've been through a lot over the past 5 years, but it's been really amazing and fun to see how the company has evolved and our roster has evolved.
Great. And we're here tonight with what I call a CMJ buzzworthy band, Streets of Laredo. I wanted to focus on CMJ, which takes place in various venues here in New York City from the 15th through the 19th of October. Can you tell us a little bit about the background of CMJ, how it started, what it's evolved to?
Absolutely. I'm 30, so I wasn't necessarily around in the 90s where, you know, a CMJ show could, quote, like, make or break your band and you'd get signed and things like that. So sometimes I think, you know, slightly older, more established people in the industry, especially in New York, kind of rag on CMJ a little bit. And I couldn't disagree more because CMJ is a very powerful brand internationally in particular. I was just in Australia speaking at a conference, and there are countries like Australia that, their governments allocate funds to send bands and industry over to to things like CMJ. So I have a ton of meetings set up next week with great, you know, booking agents, particularly from the UK and from Australia. So I think it's something that we should take very seriously. And being in New York, we're very lucky because we live here. So, you know, we're here doing our work, going about our normal music and music industry lives, but we have all these great artists and all these great industry people coming in. So there's a lot of opportunity. And I think that I think that when we are standing around at 4 p.m. watching bands and having a beer, we shouldn't really be complaining about it.
Yeah, and how do you bring a fresh perspective to, you know, your activities on the day-to-day during those 5 days?
I think that's exactly it, is really taking advantage of all the international folks that are in town. And, you know, even if it is, not that this is old, but like 40 or 50-year-old agents, it's kind of griping, oh, CMJ isn't what it used to be. It's like, well, we're here, so check out my band, you know? And just like, you know, South by Southwest, it really doesn't matter if there's 5 people there or 500 people there. You don't know who they are, and whether they're fancy or not, you could pick up 5 new fans, which is better than 0 fans.
Great. Let's talk logistics. Say I'm an indie musician in a band. I'm playing a CMJ showcase, plus I'm, you know, really counting on networking my butt off in the possibility that I may meet some press people, find a manager, find a label. What are some tips you could share with our audience on how to most effectively make the best use of their time without feeling overwhelmed?
It sounds ridiculous, but start by taking care of yourself. You know, try to get some sleep. I kind of have a rule to actually, despite the 4 p.m. beer I mentioned, not really drink during the days, you know, like maybe have some drinks at night. But I guess my point is don't get too wasted and make an ass of yourself. You don't need to, you know, take every drink that's offered to you. And you just need to keep those energy levels up because it's really important to be, you know, going to parties and mixers. There's so many great free events next week. And just meeting as many people as you can. But I also don't think artists should go into CMJ with any sort of expectations. I think it can be good to have some kind of more generic goals, like, okay, I know this is a hard thing for a musician to do, but I'm going to walk away from this event, you know, this mixer with 5 business cards or 10 business cards a day or things like that. But I think, you know, artists should just go into it just being friendly, being themselves, you know, maybe have a card themselves that has, you know, a SoundCloud or a download link to spread the word. But, you know, the thing about networking is just being yourself. And it's amazing how, you know, when you meet someone in a situation like that, what they can go on to do. You know, like I have a young intern who has a band called the Post Nobles that are playing. And, you know, like you might be looking for a manager like me, and I'm not taking anything on, but you might meet Molly instead, who might be a phenomenal manager in a couple of years, you know. So it's not even necessarily what you get out of it right now. It's some of the things that can happen in the future.
Yeah, I find sometimes, too, when I go to a networking event and I'm nervous about it and I'm like, okay, I'm here. Sometimes, like, the best thing to do is just to start speaking to the people right next to me instead of worrying about, okay, who is this person? You know, what can they do for me? Usually I find out, like, I find that I'm usually standing right next to exactly who I need to be standing right next to.
It's so true, you know, and don't get me wrong. I mean, go to bigger panels and try to meet, you know, people that you really admire. But I've met people in the bathroom line and the drink line, you know, whatever. So it's amazing the things that can come together. And, you know, ask where people are from and what they're interested in seeing. We all love our jobs, but that might not necessarily be what we want to talk about all day. So, you know, just, again, being yourself and being a really genuine person is going to get you further faster than just trying to talk shop all the time.
I have a good question. You've been a panel member several times, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm a musician who wants to approach you after the panel. There's tons of people around you who are speaking to you. What's the best approach, or what are some tips you would give someone in my position?
I mean, I'm happy to accept music, and we definitely listen to everything, but I think the best way is actually to follow up, you know, via email or maybe even via Twitter too. Like, you know, people are always asking for my business card, and that's fine, and I'm happy to give it to them. But I'm so accessible online, and all my information is public. So, you know, definitely come up, introduce yourself. I'm probably going to remember. But, you know, there's so many great digital ways to follow up. Don't feel too much pressure that, you know, that 1 or 3 minutes is, you know, going to make or break you. You know, just say hi. You know, I like the thing I'm always friendly back. And like I said, I'll always check out your music, but you know, most industry people are really findable online. And I think Twitter can be great. Cause we send and receive like 300 emails a day sometimes. So I respond to everything, but you know, sending a tweet can be, a little more passive way to network.
Yeah, and the perspective of someone who's getting 300 to 400 emails a day from musicians who want to be on your label or want to be managed by you, how do the people that get through get through? How do you know what gets your attention?
You know, it actually goes back to kind of networking and those initial relationships. Everyone on my roster, I started working with organically, except for Urge Overkill and except for Our Olympic Swimmer. I mean, the Hush Band were opening for the Dresden Dolls in 2006, and we became friends when I was the Dolls tour manager and just stayed in touch. And when Greta put out a solo album with Gold Motel, she called me. And when the Hush Band got together, you know, I was lucky enough for them to ask me to manage them. So really every single artist on my roster came through, you know, networking in early days. And I started working with the Dresden Dolls when they played my school when I was 19, and I asked Amanda if she needed help, you know? So I was doing all the things that people are trying to do at CMJ, just putting myself out there and saying yes to everything. And it's amazing how when you do good work and you respond to every email and you do the things that you say that you'll do, all of those things come back around.
Yeah, great. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I would definitely love to have you back on the show when we have more time to speak. But unfortunately, we're going to have to like move on to our musician segment, and I hope you can actually listen in.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, and I bike down Metropolitan Ave every day, so I sure love what you guys are doing.
Thanks a lot. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
No problem. All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too. All right, so we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with our in-studio musical guest, Streets of Laredo.
Brooklyn Slate Company is a collaborative effort from Brooklyn graphic designer Sean Tice and Parsons graduate student Christy Hedeka. After visiting Christy's family slate quarry in upstate New York in the spring of 2009, the two grabbed a few pieces for use as all-purpose boards back home in Brooklyn. They found a number of purposes for the slate and began gifting pieces to friends. The response was so overwhelmingly positive that the two struck out to produce a line of slate products. They now make regular trips to the family quarry in upstate New York to hand-pick their favorite pieces of black and red slate. Some of the slate is sourced from the quarry graveyard, a collection of odd-shaped pieces that were ultimately destined to be ground for use as road cover or baseball diamonds. They then transport the pieces to their studio in Red Hook, Brooklyn, where they do additional cutting and clean the stone to be food slate. Every single piece of packaging that comes with their products, from the envelope to the burlap bag, can be repurposed for other uses. The end result is a product completely unique in cut, shape, color, and overall presentation. For more information and to order, visit brooklynslate.com.
Welcome back to Metropolitan Ave. I'm your host, DJ Lady DM. Thanks for keeping your digital dial tuned to Brooklyn. If everyone in the room would please introduce themselves, name, and instrument.
G'day, my name's Dan. I sing the vocals and play acoustic guitar.
I'm Sarah. I play percussion and do BVs.
My name's Dave Gibson, and I play the drums and sing a little bit of backing vocals.
My name's Sean McMahon. I play some bass and do some backing vocals.
My name's Andrew. I play some trumpet.
My name's Son. I play guitar.
Awesome. So all together it makes Streets of Laredo.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Before we get into our first song, I have a manager friend in New Zealand who emailed me an article from the New Zealand Herald a few weeks ago. And the title was, Kiwi Family Band Takes Top Indie Award in the U.S. So who were they talking about?
Well, you're too kind.
I mean, she literally, a friend of mine randomly emailed me this article about you guys.
It's funny. Yeah, it's so cool. They are talking about us, and we entered this competition based out of Nashville called Unsigned Only, and we kind of entered it on a whim, to be honest, and ended up winning our category, which was the alternative adult something category, you know,
the AAA
yeah
category.
But we're
triple A.
Triple A.
We were pretty
Felt like I won a test. I mean, I did well in a test.
Yeah. We did. We got an A.
We got an A, and
we didn't get many A's in high school. But for us, I mean, it was they're a really great organization, and they got some great judges. Iggy Pop's one of the judges, Black Francis, one of the Pixies, you might have heard of them, and also...
Who?
The Cure.
Yeah, Robert Smith from The
what?
Cure.
Are you F... Sorry. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, like, some of my favorite
basically, those
people
are three of
music.
My favorite bands, but
yeah,
this cool thing happened back home, which is basically like they made it sound like we won a Grammy. So we were happy for that, and we just took it on board. But yeah, it was good, and they're very good people.
That's awesome. I'd love to have my listeners here. Why invited you on the show? Do you have a song for us?
Yes, we do. We're going to play you a song called Lonsdale Line.
You good, my brother Dan?
I'm good.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4.
A few hours to get through. I'm stuck in the longest queue. These moments that lead to you. I lost my bed on the Lonsdale Line. I combed my hair as I caught the tide. The leaves were falling, Vancouver morning. I caught a glimpse of the light. It's true. The old man is driving, he's driving Redwood. Oh, the old man is driving, he's driving Redwood. I lost my mind trying to pay my rent. The child baptized is my testament. The people keep walking down the street that I grew up on. I'm living life, it's true. The old man is driving, he's driving Redwood. He's driving Redwood. Mexico, I'm counting on you. Mexico, I'm counting on you.
I think it was enough.
It's true. The old man is driving, he's driving Redwood. Whoa, whoa. The old man is driving, he's driving Redwood. Mexico, I'm counting on you. I'm standing in a room with people I don't know, don't care about nothing.
What was that tune called?
That one's called Lonsdale Line.
Tell us a little bit about your journey to New York.
It started back in New Zealand where we're from. Me and my older brother over here, we actually we came a few times here before with old bands, and it was kind of like a weird thing. We kind of we kind of fell in love with the place, you know. And then we started kind of Streets of Laredo about maybe like a year and a half ago now, and we kind of just started writing songs together, and we were like, man, let's just take this back to New York and do it over here instead of doing it back in New Zealand. New Zealand's an awesome place to do music. Dave, you wanna?
Yeah, it really is. It is a beautiful place. But we kind of thought, if we're gonna start a band from scratch, you know, why not start it from scratch in New York City? Mm. Like, I mean, it's a hell of a city. Let's be honest. Somebody should write a song about it. and so yeah, we really only actually played one show in New Zealand. It was in May, I believe, last year. We played at the Whiskey Bar on Ponsonby Road. Have you ever been there, Mackenzie?
Welly?
No, Auckland.
Auckland, yeah. No. I didn't spend much time in Auckland.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm a Welly girl.
Yeah, we played a show there and just basically packed up our harmonicas and our drums and moved here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave's referring to my 6 months in New Zealand, which are very noteworthy, but we'll get into that some other time. And how has your time been in New York thus far? I think things have really been going well, correct?
Yeah.
It's been an amazing experience. Like like Dan said, we've been here about a year and a half. The first 6 months was actually pretty tough, if I was to be honest. We didn't have a lot of friends. We didn't have jobs. We didn't have apartments. We were broke. I mean, we're still broke, but now we're kind of broke and happy. But a really big thing for us, kind of when it all changed, was when we moved to Bushwick, actually, and we kind of met Sean here. Who plays bass with us and also plays in a fantastic band called Bird Courage and his own solo project called Workman's Song. And so we kind of all met these guys and kind of met this community in Bushwick. And that's kind of when we got happy, I think. And then things started to feel right. And we started collaborating together. We play with each other's bands. And and since then, it's been a lot easier, actually, you know, because we're a long way from home.
Yeah, I have two questions, actually. One about the family dynamic at work, and then the second thing, which is about how do the musicians here rate up to Kiwi musicians? That's something that I was super impressed about when I was down there. I was, like, amazed. Everybody's, like, a multi-instrumentalist. They just, like, they're hands down amazing musicians there. So let's start with how does the family dynamic work?
I really like it.
No, let's talk about the relations here.
What is the dynamic, Dan? What is it exactly?
I'm the younger brother of Dave, and then Dave is married to Sarah on my right here, and that's the family dynamic. But also, you know, Sean, Cy, and Andrew are kind of, you know, they're our brothers, and you know, they're our family too.
And Tom, who couldn't make it because he's working hard at the advertising agency back in the city.
Yes.
And couldn't get
support.
Off.
I hope. Yeah. Does Tom pay the rent?
Yeah, Tom pays the rent for all of us.
Pays the cab. He pays the taxi ride a lot. I can tell you that.
And Sarah, you have like a shift in careers going on. You were talking to me about that a little bit. Is it your first time playing in a band?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is my first time in a band. I did some solo things when I was really young, just playing around, but this is my first time in a band, which has been so fun. And probably this is the one band that I would have been in, I think, with my, you know, my brother-in-law and my husband. So yeah, it's been really, really fun.
Does that complicate things, or thus far that's good?
It makes it easier for me, I think, because it feels just like I'm with my friends and my family, so things run smoother, I think. But like I say, I haven't been in a band before, so I don't know.
You don't have any horror stories, past lives, things you want to forget about. Cool. Do you guys have another song for us?
Yeah, we
yes,
do.
We do. Should we play the little tune called Everything to Everyone?
Yep, now?
Yeah,
let's do that.
Yeah, we should do this. This is a new song. It's actually off our debut EP, which we can talk about a little bit later. How are you guys all feeling?
Great.
One. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm.
It was a long time since I've been home. Found a place here in Babylon. I am lost, yet I'm in love. But I'm finding it hard. Well, I might be the younger one. It's the bread line I'm running from. Found a fortune, but not a goal in the friends I behold. Vandals all night, be my alibi. I need one thing, ease my trouble. Well, I might be the eldest one, handed down a hammer and a silver tongue from the preachers and devil's drum, claiming everything to everyone. Vandals all night, be my alibi. I need one thing, ease my trouble. In the details a stranger said, though the kingdom is overthrown, send the stars but not in stone. Vandals all night, be my alibi. I need one thing, ease my trouble. Vandals all night, be my alibi. I need one thing, ease my trouble. Yeah, Vandals all night, be my alibi. I need one thing, ease my trouble.
Going to sit here and smile. Do you want to tell us a little bit about shows, CMJ, what's coming up for you guys?
Yeah, we've got a busy October, actually. We're super excited about it. It's probably the busiest we've ever been in New York. This week, specifically, we have our EP release party at Cameo Gallery in Williamsburg. That's on Friday night, and that's a big deal for us. It's been about six months in the making, I guess, this EP. And we're going to be playing with two great bands, Wild Leaves and Balmere. And that's at 8 o'clock. And then we've got a bunch of CMJ showcases, which we're stoked about. The New Zealand Music Showcase.
Woo! I'll be there.
At Le Pochon Rouge.
Who else is playing that one this year?
Electric Ghost Wave.
Electric Wire Hustle.
Electric Wire Hustle.
Tiny Ruins.
And Tiny Ruins, off top of my head.
No Cairo Knife Fight.
No, not this year. Like,
that sucks.
And, like, yeah, I have to give a big shout out to Cairo Knife Fight. They're amazing. Like, if, you know, I know this is meant to be about us, but if you get a chance to listen to Cairo Knife Fight.
Or go see them, actually, because seeing them is more unbelievable than
They're really, really fantastic
what
band.
I love about CMJ Showcase is they have pies there. It's a New Zealand food, and it's definitely a food that I miss.
What is it?
It's pretty much like a pastry, like an inside's like kind of like meat pie, like kind of like mince or mince and cheese, and it's surrounded. It's kind of covered in,
it's a pie.
Pastry. It's a pie, And Dub Pies, they're actually here in New York. They're a New Zealand company, but they kind of sponsor the event. So it's a pie fest.
I'll warn the ladies listening. I ate a few of those when I was living there. There's like 40 grams of fat in them. That's like the equivalent of eating like four steaks or something. Crazy.
There's a saying back in New Zealand, if you get a little bit fat, and the saying is, who ate all the pies?
Yeah, for real. What other types of food and food do you guys miss, actually, from home? Food specifically.
Like I really miss Vogel's bread. Pretty much it's like this, it's the most amazing bread. Like you toast it, and you put a little bit of like butter on it, and it's just
if you add Marmite. Which I know to Americans doesn't sound great. It's like a yeast spread, but it's
good, man. Yes. Seriously,
it's the best. Yeah, Vogel's. I agree, Dan. Like Vogel's, I totally miss Vogel's.
Yeah, they got some kind of pretty humorous ads kind of on TV about Vogel's bread.
We could go into them, but
then I just kind of figured we're not here to talk about Vogel's.
Any, like you might get sponsored by them in the future. Who knows?
Man, that'd be awesome.
Anything else? Anything fancier? Any certain spots?
We're also playing the Delhi Music Showcase, the Delhi Magazine, a great New York blog and magazine. They've been really supportive of us. We played their Best of Emerging Artists Festival earlier this year, and then invited us to come and play their CMJ showcase on October 16th at Rockwood One, which is a venue that we love.
What time are you on?
That night we're on at 11. Yeah, 11 o'clock at Rockwood, and it's going to be cool. And then just as a side note too, this is not even like CMJ, but we're playing the Ace Hotel every Sunday of October too. We've got friends of ours come and play. Sean at Workman Song was playing there on Sunday with us, and then this Sunday we've got
Wild Leaves
playing. And
where are you and they? It's in the lobby?
The lobby.
Awesome.
Yeah, and the doors are at 8, so if you're kind of in the mood for a cheeky beer on a Sunday this month, come down and say hello.
It's quite romantic in there as well, so if you want a good date night.
There's romance in the room. If you go and check out, if you just go to check out our Facebook, streetslaredo.com, Facebooky thingy, just type it in, just do a Google thing.
So quick question, find information. This was something I noticed. Streets of Laredo is the official band name, but you also have stuff under Streets Laredo, or is that a short
That's just when we couldn't get that particular handle.
It's on Twitter.
Like for example, we're Streets Laredo on Twitter only because there's a dude
that three followers
just doesn't respond to us. He's got three followers and never uses his Twitter account called Streets of Laredo, and we're like, hey man, can we possibly come to some arrangement? See, not really using this Twitter thing. Would really like to have it, but he never responds. Simon was in charge. Actually, been trying to get hold of him.
We've offered everything: money, bribes, beer, nothing, no response.
Yeah.
So Eduardo in Laredo in Texas, if you're listening, just reply to an email, buddy.
Do the right thing, man. Do the right thing.
And it's hilarious. Any more shows this month? That was the rundown?
So 15th EP October, New Zealand Music Showcase. 16th, Rockwood, Delhi Showcase. 17th, we're playing upstairs at Living Room, at Googie's Lounge, upstairs there, that great little tiny little venue. We've just got a new show announced, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Dan, can you? And then
we've got our EP release this Friday at the Cameo Gallery.
Which I've mentioned, but it's good to mention twice, because that actually really matters. It really matters. It does. I agree. I'm happy about that.
Thanks, Dave. Your encouragement just means heaps.
I love the train of thought in the room. I'm like, whoa, hold on, let's catch it.
Look, basically we're playing tons of we're playing a show every second day. Just look it up.
Awesome. Where can they look it up? Let's be really specific.
I think the best place to start is facebook.com/StreetsLaredo.
Streets Laredo.
No, Streets of Laredo. Laredo. Yeah, just we've got the facebook.com/StreetsLaredo. Or just, type into Google, see what happens.
I did. A lot of things happened. That's why I was wondering. You have a few videos up on YouTube that have gotten quite a bit of traction as well, right?
The video that we made for Girlfriend was produced and directed by Sai here, our guitarist. He's a very talented a photographer.
It's pretty
and,
awesome.
And also chef.
Does he make pies?
But he makes his pork tacos are next level.
How come no one mentioned like kidgeri or whatever that stuff's called?
What's that?
Kidgeri? I'm probably saying it wrong. It's like some porridge thing with rice that turns into an afternoon food.
Is this a kidgeri? New Zealand thing?
I think it's Scottish, but it's down there.
Yeah, I don't think it's a. I don't think it's really clicked in New Zealand yet.
Completely. No, I think I'm just slaughtering the pronunciation fully. We have. Let's go into. Actually, let me do my outro, and then you guys will have some time to play. Still in time for the outro of our show. All right, so that's all the time we have tonight. I'd like to thank my guest, Emily White of Whitesmith Entertainment and Ready Made Records, and our musical guest here tonight, Streets of Laredo. Lila Salam is here, our videographer, and Joe, who's always holding down the studio, who's engineering tonight's show. You find tonight's broadcast of Metropolitan Ave and many other great shows archived on heritageradionetwork.org. You can also visit Heritage Radio Network on iTunes and Stitcher. See you next week, and thanks for listening.
Quiet life, lights go out on the North Shore, but he dreams to go south. Once again, he feels the sand in his pockets. He may need a little help. I ain't got nothing to lose. Whoa, he might need a little help. Then I won't leave you high like dust on a shelf. Accordions. Crowds move into the markets on any given Sunday. St. Jerome just out of reach in the distance. Oh, I'm gonna need some help. I ain't got nothing to lose. Oh, be mine. Then I won't leave you high like dust on a shelf. Be mine, need your help like dust on a shelf. Then I won't leave you high like dust on a shelf. Oh my Lord, that part of me, think about you, I'm thinking about nothing. Cantaloupe won't let me settle down. No regrets, thanks Emily, these happy pills and remedies, honestly, yeah. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.